Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. As I announced, I hope to speak to you from verse 14 and verse 15 this morning. Now, you heard earlier as I read the first 30 verses of this chapter talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, Him being the door. He said in verse 6, or verse 9 it is, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." I love these verses that we picked here this morning for our text because they contain precious, precious truth. Now, the Revised Version, as I read it, looked at it, it seems to me to be the closest to the original text. Let me read this as it is in the Revised Version. "I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and mine own know me, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, the one speaking here to us in these words is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to our mind and to our heart, every word of Scripture is precious. Every word from the mouth of our God is precious to us. When God speaks to us in any way, we are glad to hear Him speak. The Bible talks about God speaking, and we know that He is a talking God. The God of the Bible is a talking God, and He speaks. He's revealed His mind through His Word. Now, in the Old Testament, we often meet with a passage which begins with, "Thus saith the Lord." And what a joy we feel to have a message directly from God's own mouth. And yet we make no distinction between the verse in the Old Testament that says, "Thus saith the Lord," and the scripture that we have here before us this morning. We make no distinction. We believe that the Lord Jesus is God, and that when He speaks, it is God speaking to us. We accept all of the Word of God as inspired. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, and furnished unto all good works. Still, there is to me a peculiar sweetness about words which were actually spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, we're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God in sundry times has spoken unto His people through the mouth of prophets. But in these last days, the Bible says that He has spoken unto us by His Son, by whom He made the world. He has spoken unto us by His Son. Now still, to me, as I read this text, my heart leaps for joy to know that these are the words of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. So we have before us in this text, not that which would come to us by some prophet or by some priest or even by some king, but that which is spoken by one who is prophet, priest, and king in one, even our Lord Jesus Christ. He opens His mouth and He speaks to you, and you will open your ear this morning and listen to what He has to say if you be indeed one of His own. If you belong to Him, if you're one of His sheep, you're going to hear His voice this morning. Observe here also that we not only have Christ here for the speaker, but we have Christ also for the subject. He speaks, and He speaks about Himself. He's talking about Himself. "I am the good shepherd," He says. And He says, "I know my sheep and am known of mine." So the Lord Jesus not only is speaking a message, but that message is about Himself. Now, I would tell you this, that it would not be right for any one of us here this morning to extol ourselves ever. But there is nothing more comely in the world than for Jesus Christ to be found commending Himself. There is nothing wrong with that. for the Lord Jesus to stand and say, I am the good shepherd. For the Lord Jesus to say, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. There's nothing wrong with that, because he is God. He is other than we are. He is something infinitely above us and is not under the rules which apply to fallible mortals such as you and I. Of all of our Lord's words, those are the sweetest in which he speaks about himself. Now, my brother, sister, who can adequately speak of Jesus but himself? Who is it that can best speak of Jesus but himself? His perfection exceeds our understanding. The light of his excellence is too bright for us. It blinds our eyes. Jesus must be his own mirror. None but Jesus can reveal Jesus. Only he can see himself, know himself, and understand himself. And therefore, none but he can reveal himself. Take then these words as being directly from the Lord's own mouth, and believe as we begin this message today that these verses contain rich revelations of his own glorious self, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd. I, he says, know mine own, and mine own know me, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, there are three things in this text that I'd like to speak about this morning. The first thing I find here in this text is a complete character. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus is not a half shepherd, but a shepherd in the fullest possible sense. Number two, we want to talk about his complete knowledge. And I know my own, he says, and mine own know me, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father. Complete knowledge. And third is a complete sacrifice. He says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He goes the full length to which sacrifices can go. He says, he lays down his soul in the stead of my sheep. I lay it down in their place. Well, first of all, then, we have a few words to say about the complete character of our Lord Jesus. He said, I am the good shepherd. Now, whenever the Savior describes himself by an emblem or a type, he exalts and expands that emblem and that type, and yet that emblem is not able to bear all of his meaning. When the Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he means to say, I am everything that a shepherd could be, but then I'm really more than that too. The term cannot carry the weight, the full weight of what I really am. Now, the Lord Jesus fills out every type and figure and character that he uses in Holy Scripture. There is more in Jesus, the good shepherd, than you can pack away or put in a shepherd. He is the good. He's the great. He's the chief shepherd. But he's much more. Now, human thought is too contracted. Human speech is too feeble to set him forth to the full. We cannot set forth Christ fully to the Lord's living family. We don't have the ability to do so. We don't have the words by which to set him forth, but we're going to attempt this. Christ cannot be fully set forth in the language of mortal men. He is inconceivably above our conceptions, unutterably above our utterances. Well, he sets himself forth here then as a shepherd. Now, the Eastern shepherd is generally the owner of the flock. He generally owns his flock. Now, the sheep are his own. In verse 3 and 4, if you'll notice here in the 10th chapter of John, he says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. And in verse 4, he putteth forth his own sheep. He putteth forth his own sheep. And then down in verse 12 of this same chapter, he says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. You see, the hireling, the sheep don't belong to him. The sheep belong to the true shepherd. He knows how he came to have these sheep in his possession. Well, how do you know the Lord Jesus says he has sheep? He said, I've got other sheep that's not of this fold. He speaks throughout here about men being his sheep, those that he had chosen before the foundation of the world, those that he designated, pointed out before the foundation of the world as my sheep. And he speaks of them. Well, how did he come into possession of these sheep? A shepherd would know how he got his sheep. Well, the Lord Jesus got his sheep by the Father giving them to him. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. John 17, he speaks of how they belong, how the sheep belong to the Father. And he said, you gave them to me. Thou gavest them to me. And so the Lord Jesus had these sheep given to him as a love gift from the Father. And then also the Lord Jesus bought these sheep. He bought these sheep. We were redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were bought with a price, Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians. Now then, he knows also when and where each of these sheep was born and where he has led them and what trials he has had in connection with every one of them. The Lord knows about these sheep. He knows where they were born. Well, does he not know where all of his children have been regenerated? I'm sure he does. He knows how we have come into the fold. He knows where we were at when he spoke peace to our troubled soul. These sheep are his own inheritance. The Lord Jesus is our shepherd, and we are his wealth. In the Latin tongue, the word for money is akin to the word sheep, because to the first Romans, wool was their wealth. And so, beloved, we are the Lord's wealth if we be the Lord's sheep. He owns his sheep. If you ask what is his heritage, he tells you of the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ask him what are his jewels, and he replies, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels, they shall be mine. If you ask him where his treasures are, he'll tell you the Lord's portion is his people. The Lord Jesus has nothing that he values more than his own people. For their sakes he gave up. He gave up all that he had. He gave up his life. And he died naked on a bloody cross. For the sake of his own sheep. He gave it all for his sheep. He loved the church, the Bible says. And he gave himself for it. Now the shepherd, as he owns his flock, is also the caretaker of the flock. He takes care of his sheep always. He's never off duty. He has constant care of his people day and night. He says of his flock what he says of his garden, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will keep it night and day. Now next, not only is he the caretaker of the flock, but he's the provider for the flock. There is not one woolly head among these sheep that knows anything about where pasture is to be found. They don't know how to navigate, and they don't know how to get around. They don't know how to find pasture. So they need somebody to provide for them. It may be that this is a dry year, and where grass was last year, there is no grass this year. And it's the shepherd that must provide the leading, must provide for his own sheep. But the sheep don't know anything about where to find pasture, so the Lord must direct them. It is the Lord that makes us to lie down in green pastures. It's the Lord. You say, well, it looks like the sheep could lie down on their own, but they cannot. We only rest as we rest in the Lord Jesus, and as he gives us the ability to just simply relax and rest ourselves in him. Now the shepherd is the sheep's providence. Both for time and for eternity, for body and for soul, our Lord Jesus supplies all of our need out of his riches in glory. Philippians 4, verse 19. He's the great storehouse from which we derive everything. He has provided, he does provide, and he will provide for his sheep. And you that are here this morning, if you have in your own heart that hope, I'm one of the Lord's sheep, you have a provider, you have a caretaker, you have an owner. You do not belong to yourself, you belong to Christ. And he's leading the way, he's being your caretaker. And that brings me to the next point. He's to be their leader. The Lord Jesus is the leader of his own sheep. He says he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. He leads them out. Now then he knows the way, and the sheep have nothing to do but to follow him wherever he goes. The Lord's people are dependent upon the Lord to direct them, to lead them in their life. Theirs not to make the way, theirs not to choose the path, but theirs to keep close to the heels of their master. The old song says, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whatever I do, where I be, still it is God's hand that leadeth me. He does lead his people. And also he's the defender of the sheep. I'm talking about Jesus being a shepherd. I'm talking about him being a good shepherd. The Bible says, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord Jesus is always awake. Where there is a wolf to attack the flock, you can count on it. The Lord Jesus will be there. The shepherd will be there to protect the flock. He is the good shepherd. He's good up to the highest point of goodness. Good in all that is tender. Good in all that is kind. Good in all the directions in which a shepherd can be needed. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. Let me talk a little bit to you now about his complete knowledge. I said that he was a shepherd and that he would fill the type perfectly and there'd be more left over. Now the complete knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I know my own and mine own know me, even as the Father knoweth me and I know the Father. Consider, if you will, Christ's knowledge of his own and the comparison by which he sets it forth. As the Father knows me. That's the comparison. Well, the Father knows the Son. The Son is the glory. He is the darling. He's the alter ego. He's the other self. He's one with God. He says, I and the Father are one. And so, certainly, the Father knows the Son. The Father and the Son are one spirit. The Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. They know each other perfectly. So the great shepherd knows his sheep, and he knows them perfectly. Number one, he knows their number. Even though they're more numerous than the sand of the seashore, the Lord Jesus Christ knows every one of them. Their names are inscribed on the palm of his hand. Their walls are ever before him. He knows every one of them. He will never lose one of them. Of all thou hast given me, Jesus says, I've lost none. He will leave the 99 and go after the one lost sheep. He's never going to lose his sheep. He knows their persons. He assures us that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. Christ has not an unknown sheep in place. You say, well, I'm an unknown sheep. Well, you may be unknown to me, but you're not unknown to him. The Bible says the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knows them that belong to him. And so the good shepherd, he knows his sheep. It is not possible that he should have overlooked or forgotten one of his sheep. And so whoever you are this morning, insignificant though you might be, in a world that's as large as this one, I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus knows about you. He knows where you are. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situation. He knows even your constitution. whether you be weak, feeble, whether you be strong or brave, whether you be nervous or frightened in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ knows you this morning. And He knows all there is to know about you. He knows your secrets in and out. And He knows every one of us here better than we know ourselves. Better than we know ourselves. Now somebody says, if I know my own heart, I know this, I know that. But beloved, we don't know our own heart. But you can count on this. The Lord Jesus, the great shepherd, He says, I know my own. I know them. And I'm acquainted with them. I'm acquainted with their ways. Now He knows our trials. That particular trial under which you are presently bowed down. Those trials that make up the ingredients of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, He fully knows of them. He knows them. They're all known to Him. He knows not only our trials, not only our ups and downs, not only our constitution, but He also knows our sins. And when He chose us, He knows what we were and what we should be. He knew when He chose us what we were going to be. He did not buy His sheep in the dark. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll take this lot, I'll take this flock of sheep, and without knowing anything about them? Absolutely not. He knew all about the sheep. He knew about their sin that He would have to be legally charged with before He ever received these sheep. He did not choose us without knowing all the devious ways of our past and our future lives. He saw us, the poet said, ruined in the fall, yet loved us notwithstanding all. The Lord Jesus knows His sheep. Now He's read you as a man would read a book, and He remembers all that he reads. He knows you. He knows His sheep. I'm talking about His knowledge of His own. Now there's a great comfort in that, because His knowledge of His own is a sympathetic knowledge. It's an affectionate knowledge. He loves His people, and the Lord Jesus loves them. He knows them, and He loves them with an everlasting love. Now the next thing I want to talk about is our knowledge of the Lord, because He said, I'm known of mine also. I know my sheep and am known of mine. I'm known of mine. Now, this is the way the Lord Jesus illustrates His knowledge of us, our knowledge of Him. And mine own know me even as I know the Father. Jesus knew the Father. You agree with that? He came out from the Father. The Lord Jesus came into this world from the bosom of the Father. And He comes into this world, He says, mine own know me even as I know my Father. Now you say, well, that's startling to make a statement like that, that my sheep know me as I know my Father. Now, beloved, it's not difficult for me to believe that the Lord Jesus knows me. That's not difficult. It's not difficult for me to believe that He knows all about me, because He is omniscient. He knows everything. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. But the marvel is that I should ever know Him. That's the marvel. He said, I know mine own, and mine own, they know me. Well, that's the marvel. Isn't that the miracle? That such a stupid, a blind as mine should ever know Him. Should ever truly know the shepherd. And should know Him as He knows the Father is 10,000 miracles indeed. How could we ever know the Lord and know Him that well? Now, beloved, you listen to me carefully. With such a flock as Christ has, that He is able to train them so that they are able to know Him, and to know Him as He knows the Father, we've said, is miraculous. But God's people know their shepherd. They know their shepherd. Now, beloved, we know so much of our Lord that we love to hear about Him. We love to hear about Him. If anybody were to get up and preach you a sermon, maybe it would be the finest sermon that was ever delivered, but you would not like it if it had no Christ in it. if it had no Christ in it. I mean, if Jesus Christ was not exalted in that sermon, if he's not exalted as God's well-beloved Son that always pleased the Father, if he was not exalted as that one who came into the world to bear the sins of many, if he was not exalted as that one who answered to God in the room instead in place of sinners, you wouldn't want to hear about it. You say, well, I don't want to hear that. I wouldn't go back to hear that man again. Don't make any difference how flowery he is in his oratory. I don't want to hear it because it has no Christ in it. I love Christ and I want to hear about him. But then, beloved, you would come and you would listen to me preach here about Jesus Christ with words so simple. And then you would go out and say, and you do say this, it's been good to be there. It's been good to be there because Christ was preached. Christ was lifted up. Christ was set forth. The shepherd of the sheep was extolled. And the believer was fed on the living bread on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why is that? Why do we feel that way? Somebody said, well, this generation, well, I heard somebody say about a dear friend of mine, they said, well, he's made an idol out of Jesus Christ because he talks about him all the time. And beloved, listen, Jesus Christ, you can make an idol out of him if you want to. Jesus Christ should be believed upon. He should be talked about. He should be worshipped. And all of the sheep, they know him. They know him. And that's the reason why our hymns have got to be about him. That's why the preaching, we must preach Christ up. And the people will hear him. They'll hear of him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And the poet said, thou dear Redeemer, dying Lamb, we love to hear of thee. No music like thy charming name, nor half so sweet can be. How true that is to a believer. Jesus delights in his Father, and you, as one of the Lord's sheep, delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I know mine, and mine, they know me. They know me. Do you know him this morning? If you do, then he's precious to you. If you know him, then you'll trust him. If you know him, you'll follow him. If you know him, you'll depend upon him to be all that he's revealed himself to be in the Word of God. Now that brings me to the last thing, and that is a complete sacrifice. We've had a complete character. He's the good shepherd. Fulfills that completely and entirely with some leftovers, we've said. And then his complete knowledge. I know mine own. They know me as I know the Father and as the Father knows me. I know. Complete knowledge. The Lord Jesus had it. And now we want to talk a little bit about a complete sacrifice. I lay down my life, Jesus said, for the sheep. What a statement. What a statement. These words are repeated in this chapter in different forms at least four times. Notice, if you will, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. And verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Well, this is like a song to me, and at the end of each stanza is, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. First of all, the Lord Jesus, I think, was always doing so, don't you? I think from the very time he left heaven's portals to come into this world of sin and woe, I think the Lord Jesus had begun laying down his life for the sheep. I really believe that. All his life long, he was, as it were, laying it down for them. He was divesting himself of the garments of life till he come to be fully disrobed on the cross. The Lord Jesus was, as he lived, he was laying down. He was laying down. He was laying down his life for the sheep. All the life he had, all the power he had, he was always laying it out for his sheep. Now, many a man has died for Christ. It was all that they could do. But we, beloved, cannot lay down our lives because they are due already as a debt of nature to God, and we're not permitted to die at our own wills. That would be suicidal and improper. With Christ, it was totally different. I lay down my life for the sheep. He willingly laid it down. He willingly laid down his life while he had that life, using it for us, using it for the sheep. Now, this has now been actually done. When he spoke these words, it had not been done. At this time, it has been done. The Lord Jesus has laid down his life. It has took place. It took place on the cross. The Lord Jesus has already bought his sheep. He's already done it. Now, that means several things to me, but what it means to me really is that salvation is an accomplished thing for the sheep. It is an accomplished thing. We're saved by the life of the Lord Jesus laid down. We're saved by a life we did not live. We're saved by death we did not die. The Lord Jesus laid down his life for us. And when he died on that cross and his life was laid down, the debt of sin was paid and our sin was put away. Our sin was covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, this may be read, as we've said, I've laid it down. It's done. It's a finished thing. And it's not for you to be working on salvation. Salvation has already been accomplished. And now, come to the feast. Come, all things are now ready. Jesus has laid down his life. For you, he has given his hands, his feet to the nails. For you, the bloody sweat. For you, he gave up the ghost and cried, "It is finished. It is finished." For the sheep. Now, beloved, this is his glory. This is his peculiar glory. They, the sheep, for them. Have you no other loves? Have you no other joys, dear Lord Jesus, but that you would lay down your life for the sheep, for the sake of these poor creatures? You would lay down your life, that you would give your very life for the sake of these? Son of God, Son of Man, infinitely great, inconceivably glorious, for pitiful and obnoxious creatures such as we, the sheep. They have hard hearts. They have wandering wills. And any two of them would not make a good man, much less a good saint. Lord Jesus, would you lay down your life for them? For them? For the sheep? Really, did you do it, Lord Jesus? Did you lay down your life for the likes of me? Did you die to buy and to purchase my salvation? Did you pay the debt? Did you pay it in full? Did you honor the law and magnify the law? And did you suffer the penalty of the law in my stead? Was your death my death to sin? Well, praise God, it was. Die for them, I mean? Yes, Jesus would say, I did. I laid down my life for them. I laid it down for the sheep. Now, I'm not ashamed of them. It has been spread all over earth and heaven by now that the Lord Jesus Christ, he has become the song of the Father's house. And in heaven the song is, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." And that song is all over heaven now. And also the testimony has gone out over the earth that the Lord Jesus has laid down his life for the sheep. He laid it down for the sheep. Now, whatever the Arminians have to say about particular redemption, just let them say on. Let them say on. But Christ says that it is so. He said that I laid down my life. We read it, did we not? Over four times in this scripture, he laid down his life for the sheep, for the sheep, for the sheep. He didn't lay it down for the world. Jesus said, I don't even pray for the world, but I pray for those you've given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And Jesus said, I laid down my life for them. There ain't going to be anybody in hell for whom Jesus died, my friend. Everybody for whom he died will at last be in glory. They'll all be in heaven with him because the Lord Jesus has given his life for them. You say, well, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, there was some that Jesus was talking to. They didn't believe either. They didn't believe. And Jesus said, well, I told you. They said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly if all of this is true about you being the bread of life, about you being the door, and by you, if any man enters in, he'll be saved. Well, you explain all this. If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. And he said, I told you. I told you. And you believe not. You believe not. But in verse 26, you believe not because. And the reason you don't believe is because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. The sheep, he said, I give to them eternal life. Now, there ain't anybody going to get it but the sheep. And the sheep, we're not talking about some miracle of biology here where goats are turned into sheep. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about men, women, boys and girls designated as sheep before the foundation of the world. And the Lord Jesus coming into the world. And his mission was to seek and to save those sheep. And his mission was to lay down his life for those sheep to secure their salvation. And if you have in your soul this morning, dear one, if you have in your soul any inclination, any desire toward this good shepherd, if there's anything about all we've said about him that somehow or other endears him to your heart, listen to me. That's undoubtedly because you're one of those designated from all eternity to be his sheep. If you've got some feeling in your heart that flows out toward the Lord Jesus and toward the truth of the gospel, this means that you're one of the sheep. Lay hold of this. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay it down for them. I suffered in their stead. I suffered their hell in their place. I endured the wrath that is to come in order that they would be spared. I suffered the Father's righteous error that they might be delivered and never have to experience hell themselves. Jesus said, I lay it down. I lay it down. Really, he did. He said that. Didn't he say it? Didn't I talk to you earlier about who was speaking here? Didn't I tell you? I went to great lengths. I tried every way I could to make it just as palatable as I could. These are the words of the Master. They're the words of the Lord Jesus. They're the words of the Redeemer. These are the words of the Savior. And if you would be saved, you must lay hold of this statement. I lay down my life for the sheep. And if you ever miss hell, it'll be because he laid down his life for you. That's the only way you can get by. You can't get out of the graveyard any other way except that you find in your heart the ability to believe that the Lord Jesus laid down his life in your room instead, in your place. He glories in substitution. Mark it down. He glories in substitution. He makes his boast when he speaks of his chosen. He said, I suffered in their stead. I suffered for them. I died for them. And anybody that in any way, shape, or form would in any way imply that these sheep are not saved once he laid down his life for them, you just need to read, study the Word of God. No wonder that Jesus said, he says, I give unto them eternal life. Verse 28, they'll never perish. They shall never perish. Whatever happens. Somebody said, oh, they got killed in an automobile crash. Somebody said, come, preacher, help me if you can. Somehow or other, say something. That will be a help to me. My loved one was just taken out of the world. Oh, here's the help. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Make no difference what happens. They'll never perish. Never perish. Never perish. Somebody said, awful things happen, preacher. Might have been an awful thing happened. But if they're a child of God, they shall never perish. Never perish. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Jesus said they're never going to perish. Somebody said, but they're weak. Yes, they're weak, but the Savior is strong. And the Savior did all of the work. And there isn't anything else to be done. He said, it's finished. It's finished. And all the work's been done. All the doing's been done. All the doing and the dying is over. It's been done. Jesus did it all. He did the doing. He did the dying. He did the suffering. And the sheep are given faith to believe it. Neither shall any man get them out of my hand, Jesus said. And my Father, he gave them me. He's greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So then we have the complete sacrifice. We had the complete character, the complete knowledge, and the complete sacrifice. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you never, listen to me, we barely scratched the surface talking about this. Barely scratched the surface. Try to talk about it. Preacher, got to try to talk about it. I hope the Spirit of God will visit your heart. And that you'll be able to go out of here. I hope before the day is over, you'll be able to say, maybe very weak voice and trembling inside, he laid down his life for me. I believe that. I just believe that. He laid down his life for me. And if you're able to do that, you come back and you tell us, whatever words, broken accent, whatever words you can use, just come back and tell us. He laid down his life. I believe he did, preacher. I believe he did. For me. That's salvation. That's eternal life. That's what it's all about. That's it. That's it. Mike, could we have a